Good morning, everyone. Welcome to you all, and a special welcome for any visitors who may be with us. We very much hope you will feel at home. And we hope, too, that you have had a good time over the Christmas season and are all ready for the new year. Leslie and family are taking a well-earned break after a busy time, and we are grateful to Jean and Ken for taking this service, so thank you, Ken and Jean. And Ken has just asked me to say that the copies of the sermon are being printed at the moment and will be available for your collection at the end of the service. We're also very grateful to Carol Clack and the band of volunteers who planned and organised the Christmas Day lunch. This was well attended and much appreciated by all, so we are very grateful to Carol and the volunteers. There will be a small working party putting away the Christmas decorations. This is going to be held next Saturday, that's the 4th of January, at 10 o'clock. So if you would like to help out, do please come along. You'll be very welcome. And Jean Thompson, sitting here, is the person to speak to if you would like more information. So that really only leaves me to wish you a very happy New Year.
The people were walking in darkness. Now the light has come. Let us rejoice by singing hymn number 187, Worship the Lord in the Beauty of Holiness. Standing, let's say Psalm 8 together.
O Lord, our Lord, your greatness is seen in all the world. Your praise reaches up to the heavens. It is sung by children and babies. You are safe and secure from all your enemies. You stop anyone who opposes you. When I look at the sky which you have made, at the moon and the stars which you set in their places, what is mankind that you think of them, mere humans, that you care for them? Yet you made him inferior only to yourself. You crowned him with glory and honor. You appointed him ruler over everything you made. You placed him over all creation, sheep and cattle, and the wild animals too, the birds and the fish and the creatures of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, your greatness is seen in all the world.
Please be seated. Let us pray together. Lord Jesus, you came at an inconvenient time. Nothing was ready. No one was ready. Nothing was right according to our way of thinking. And yet you came. Still you come at inconvenient times, when we are busy sorting out our homes, work, our church, our lives, and struggle for time to focus on you. Forgive us when the complexities of this age cloud our vision and block our ears so that we fail to discern your word today. God of love, help us to be alert to the needs that are around us. Help us to be aware of the resources we have that could be used to meet such needs. In your name we pray. Amen. We say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. It just so happens that I have a story called The Big Dark. But people are thinking about light today. In a distant, dark, cold country lived a little boy called Chinu. And he lived in a house made of snow. So it must have been very cold. The big cold had frozen the sea solid. The big wind blew nearly every day, so he couldn't play outside. And the big dark was everywhere, so he had to stay indoors. One morning, when Chinu looked out into the big dark, it was all still and quiet. "Come on, little Chinu," said Mama. "It's time to go." "Where?" asked Chinu. "To the sea," said Mum. So off they went. On the way, because it was a long journey, Chinu played with a little polar bear. And he played ball with a baby fox. It was a very, very long walk. And people kept saying to him, "Come on, Chinu, or we'll miss it." but nobody could tell him what it was. He kept on wondering. After a long time, Chenu was getting very, very, very tired. So he hitched a ride on a big walrus. You fancy a ride on something like that? It was the wobbliest ride he'd ever had, like sitting on a great big jelly. But soon they caught up with Mama and Papa, and together they walked on through the big dark. It was really quite spooky. Chenu was amazed to see so many footprints in the snow, all going the same way. But at last they came round a corner and they saw the frozen sea. There were lots of animals all along, all looking in the same direction and waiting and waiting. "What's happening?" asked Chenu. "Just watch and wait," said Mama. Chenu had been watching and waiting for a long time and he was getting fed up. But then very slowly something special happened. Can you see all the animals watching to see what's going to happen? "Ooh," said Chenu. "Look." "Mmm," said the animals. And then they saw it. The sun came up. That was worth waiting for. At last," whispered Mama, "the big dark's over. The ice will melt, the light will shine, and it will be light all year. That was something really worth waiting for."
Ray Erskine will read our first lesson from Galatians, and Richard Scorer will read from John.
Reading from Galatians chapter 3, starting at verse 23. "But before the time for faith came, the law kept us all locked up as prisoners until this coming faith should be revealed. And so the law was in charge of us until Christ came, in order that we might then be put right with God through faith. Now that the time for faith is here, the law is no longer in charge of us." And from chapter 4, from verse 4. "But when the right time finally came, God sent his own son. He came as a son of a human mother and lived under the Jewish law to redeem those who were under the law so that we might become God's sons and daughters. To show that you are his sons and daughters, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who cries out, 'Father, my Father.' So then you are no longer a slave, but a son or daughter. And since that is what you are, God will give you all that he has for his heirs." Amen.
Second reading is from John, chapter 1, verses 1 to 18. The word of life. "In the beginning, the word already existed. The word was with God, and the word was God. From the very beginning, the word was with God. Through him, God made all things. Not one thing in all creation was made without him. The word was the source of life. And this life brought light to humanity. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never put it out. God sent his messenger, a man named John, who came to tell the people about the light, so that they all should hear the message and believe. He himself was not the light. He came to tell about the light. This was the real light, the light that comes into the world and shines on everyone. The Word was in the world, and through God made the world through him. Yet the world did not recognize him. He came to his own country, but his own people did not receive him. Some, however, did receive him and believed in him. So he gave them the right to become God's children. They did not become God's children by natural means, that is, by being born as the children of a human father. God himself was their father. The Word became a human being and, full of grace and truth, lived among us. We saw his glory, the glory which he received as the Father's only Son. John spoke about him. He cried out, "This is the one I was talking about when I said, 'He comes after me,' but he is greater than I am because he existed before I was born. Out of the fullness of his grace, he has blessed us all, giving us one blessing after another. God gave the law through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only Son, who is the same as God and is at the Father's side. He has made him known." Amen.
Our hymn is 191, Songs of Thankfulness and Praise.
Thank you. My starting point today is the question we shared together in the psalm which opened our worship. What are human beings that you think of them? Mere human beings that you care for them. Yet you have made us inferior only to yourself and crowned them with glory and honor. You appointed them ruler over everything you made. You placed them over all creation. The author of the letter to Hebrews, commenting on this passage, said, it says that God made human beings ruler over all things. This includes everything. The writer then commented, we do not, however, see human beings ruling over all things now. As we look around our world, we have probably no difficulty in agreeing with the author of Hebrews. Philip Pullman, writing in The Guardian last week, said, how is it that decent men and women find themselves able to walk past people huddled up in doorways with only layers of cardboard to keep out the cold? And then there is the fact that the ice caps are melting, that our teachers are treated with hostility and suspicion, that libraries are closing, that people are dying on trolleys in hospital corridors, and that senior politicians see fit to deny that government has anything to do with people being poor, and claim that the victims of Grenfell Tower died because they had no common sense. And universal credit, and the gig economy, and zero contracts. Why do we tolerate it? And how do we reconcile any of this with the biblical and Christian vision of the calling of human beings to be the ruler of all things in the world and to care for all creation? So the question is about our identity, who we are, and what it means to be human. As we consider our situation, we may be tempted to the pessimistic conclusion that human beings and the world do not fit together, that events are actually out of control, and that we ourselves are helpless. If we feel like this, then we need to take into our hearts and minds the significance of the coming of Jesus as a human. Despite all the troubles and unresolved questions of our lives, the birth of Jesus as a human being like us is a sign from God that human life is actually the place where salvation can be found. We can relate positively and with hope to the materiality of things and the apparent randomness of events. The human birth of Jesus is God's vote of confidence in humanity. And as we look at his life and his teaching and seek to follow his way, we follow that in practice, a new energy is created in us. And we find in our own living experiences, insights and occasions, a strengthening and life-enhancing nature, which is like the new life which Jesus promised, and which the first disciples were able to experience. Both of today's readings say that the gift of Jesus, the result of his coming, was that we became the children of God. Paul in Galatians wrote, "Because we are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts." And John says, "To all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become the children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." The human birth of Jesus is a sign of God's commitment to the world and to the whole human race. But it is even more than that. The purpose at work in creation was indeed universal, so that John writes that all things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing was made. But that same purpose is also concerned with each and every human being, us individually, both in relation to ourselves and into our relationships. Jesus taught that we are all of individual concern to God. The hairs on your head are numbered. God cares for the sparrows, but you are of greater worth than many sparrows. John says that Christ was the Word in creation, and it's also the individual light for all human beings ever born. And therefore the gospel means that there is always room for the development of each of us personally. Remember this as you encounter systems which seek to define you as simply a multiple of statistical units. To the world in general, we may be someone who worked in a particular area, a customer, a patient, a name on a waiting list, a parent or grandparent, a child, a potential voter. In your relationship to God, revealed in Jesus, you are none of these things. No person need to be defined or limited by the impersonal and general features of their own situation and existence. In Galatians, Paul wrote, "Through faith, all of you are God's children in union with Jesus Christ." There is no difference between Jews and Gentiles, between slaves and free people, between men and women. For all of us, there is the possibility of freedom. For all of us, there is the possibility of release from the way in which we have thought about ourselves so far, and even the way we have allowed ourselves to be seen by other people. I was writing this sermon against the background of the general election, conscious that no one I've met was feeling very happy, however they voted. We are Christians. We celebrate the coming of Jesus. Here's the reason we can hold on to hope even in dark times. His human birth is the pledge that God identifies with us and wills us to believe that our human life is the place where salvation can be found, where we can work it out. His life strengthens us individually and draws us together into a community. I started with a review of the social and political issues through which human togetherness is threatened, fails, or never even begins to be developed. In our country, these issues collectively affect the living standards of most voters, but they did not determine the election result. Our contribution to our society must surely be to gain a hearing for those values by our creation of an open, loving community. This is because the truth about Jesus can never be communicated by argument or sermons like this. It will only be communicated as people come across groups attempting to be believers of Jesus Christ, whose lifestyle and involvement in practical realities demand to be listened to. We are one of those groups. We live by faith. We do not claim to know the whole truth, but we bear witness to the one whose birth brought life to us and who can bring light to all people.
Our hymn is number 171. Behold, the great Creator makes himself a house of clay. Let us pray. Living God, we meet at the end of the year and would not move ahead without remembering those situations which have concerned us during the year. There are nations like Syria and Yemen still racked by war. There is still a human tide of misery for people who have become stateless. There are still those who believe in the power of the knife or bullet or vehicle or bomb. There are those who have been devastated by fires, flooding, hurricane, or earthquakes. Lord, have mercy on our world. Thank you for every person, agency, or organization that seeks to make a difference. And for those who work tirelessly to make peace, to establish justice, and to right wrongs. We pray for your blessing on those in government who shape the fabric of our society in politics, housing, education, trade, health, and welfare. Behind the headlines, we are all too aware of the needs of ordinary people who live ordinary lives. God, creator of all that is new, make us unexpected agents of change for the world around us. Remind us that faith is catching your vision of the way things could be. And now at this time, when we have heard from family and friends near and far, we remember those who are close to us and commit them into your care and keeping. We pray for those amongst our loved ones and neighbours who need not simply prayers, but words and actions. For the grace to keep travelling in hope and peace and faith, we thank you. In your name we pray, Heavenly Father. Amen. We will now take our offertory. Heavenly Father, in this time of giving, we are grateful for what we have received from you. In this time of sharing, we are challenged to share what we have with others. Receive our gifts with our thanks as we dedicate them to the working out of your kingdom in this place. Amen. Our final hymn is number 200, The Kingdom of God is Justice and Joy. God of love, give us strength and courage for the year ahead. Let love be the foundation from which all our actions spring. Bless us and keep us in your care. And may the blessing of God our Father, his Son and Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen.